Okay, so we're back. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
So your project title for the symposium was Don't Be Sad, Complicated Journeys in the Field of Mental Health.
Yeah, so I'm referring to my project as this unfolding journey in the field of mental health. And the reason why is I went into this project thinking it would be a somewhat simple and straightforward process, but I quickly realized that every time I touched upon something, new and maybe contradicting information appeared. So from the beginning, I had a difficult time narrowing down my scope, and what started as a project about how I wanted people to be able to talk more about suicide turned into how I thought we should have more awareness around mental health. That actually just before the break ended up questioning it all. So my position in this field and perception of it have changed a lot, and I feel that it keeps changing, and that's where the unfolding part comes in.
Okay, so what do you really mean by questioning it all?
I was all about we need to talk more about it, and I ended up asking why. So I wrote in my research paper about how we today seem to have lost like the basic concept of sadness and how we might tend to diagnose everything today, things that may just be part of everyday life. So terms like diagnostic culture and the age of Prozac are some of the defining labels for the society we live in today. And when I read about how suicide rates have gone up, mental disorders have too, after the invention of medications such as antidepressants, I thought that that was maybe more interesting to look at it from that angle and question how it had become kind of normal to just go to a GP and get prescribed medication that easily, and how people may not be aware of alternative ways. So I started to play with the thought of how a designer could contribute to these steps before an individual developed, let's say, like a severe depression, and how we should learn to create more room for sadness and stop perceiving it as only this problem emotion.
Okay, so for the work in progress, you must have moved on a bit from your symposium. What have you put in your drawer?
Basically, it's kind of a pamphlet that asks people to draw their journey. But where for the symposium, I focused a lot on journeys in terms of the experience in the field. This one asks about people's journeys in regards to where their perception on mental health get influenced by.
And what do you think? What do you mean influenced in terms of what?
I mean, even though we are able to talk about mental health in a way more suitable manner today, and we are aware that it is a field that we need to address and give more attention, people seem quite preconceived in terms of their perception of what this invisible evil is all about and how we have to manage it. Some people think that depression, for example, is due to a chemical imbalance in the brain and believes that one doctor's visit and some pills will make it better, whereas other believes that there is no such a thing as a mental illness. So when you have to lose weight, you get told all these different things about different diets, and we know that different diets work differently on different people. There really aren't any one-size-fits-all in terms of what helps you when you have a mental disorder and how you should manage it. So my perception on this have changed a lot because I have read a lot about it from my research, but also because I have experienced it myself. I've been on pills for depression, and I lost my dad to suicide due to a bipolar disorder, so of course this has changed how I looked on it. But what I see on social media, on here in the news, or talk with my friends about, are playing into my perception on this matter too. So in this pamphlet in the drawer, I asked people to kind of position themselves in this perception circle, and they had to fill it out and draw whether it's things in their social surroundings or their external research or own experience who influences their perceptions and position. So maybe they're like all over the place, maybe they've changed, maybe they keep changing. And I thought that that could maybe be interesting to look at.
And have you seen many responses so far?
I just went down here before this interview, and not that many people have done it. So if anybody is down there right now with my drawer, I think people should fill them out. That would be very helpful.
Okay, so that's a shout out. Fill out those leaflets. So Julie, one of the questions you got from the symposium was, do we need to relearn how to be happy and what our expectation of happiness is?
I definitely think we should change our perceptions on happiness. And I think our culture today has made it very difficult to deal with all facets of human everyday life, and especially with all these self-help books everywhere that tells you how to be happy. This notion on, like, you're to blame for your own misfortune is common today. And I think this is maybe where the pharmaceutical industry filters into the conscience of people and kind of reinforce this widespread belief that unhappiness, as well as other unwanted moods, are disorders that can be treated with medication.
So, yeah, it's a lot of personal responsibility that seems to be mentioned. You mentioned that people are not aware of alternative ways. What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't say that medication doesn't help some people, and I'm not promoting sadness in any way, but I think that everyone could benefit from being more emotionally intelligent and more aware of how all our emotions play an important part in our lives, whether they are good or bad.
And it seems like you have been reflecting a lot on the matter of emotional intelligence. And where did you really start reflecting on that?
I actually started to attend to these nightly talks all around London, kind of TED Talks, but like more neuroscience for dummies. Mm-hmm. But they really explained the conditions that are important in order to get your brain to function at its best, and went through what actually happens in the brain during different emotional states. My favorite was one called How to Take Care of Your Brain. And just by being exposed to these basic tips on how you can prevent bad thinking habits, or just by they explain to me what and where in the brain it happens when you are sad or you're jealous at your boyfriend or you yell in traffic, helped me a lot. And I feel like we today often get exposed a lot to health issues and a lot to how to take care of our bodies. Like, we have biology lessons in primary school, and we get introduced to the classic food pyramid, and it tells us how to maintain our healthy body from the beginning. But stuff like, we have sexual education in a young age in order to prevent us from getting sexual transmitted diseases too. But I was started to think that who introduces us early on to the brain in terms of how to kind of maintain a healthy mind?
Yeah, I agree. So all of this was before the Christmas break, and have you had any thought on since?
I'm still interested in people's stories and journeys and narratives in this field of mental health, but I actually just got involved in this project that focuses more on grief and kids, and more where kids feels isolated after they have lost a loved one. And this is interesting in terms of my project, because kids who are not able to cope with grief are the kids who risk being mentally unstable.
And what is the project exactly?
It's actually really cool. It's this mobile application, where kids learn how to come to terms with the loss and kind of learn how grieving can be a thing that we can all do together.
So it's an app. Is it like?
It's this game. It hasn't launched yet, but it's this game where the player or the child has his kind of own island, and here the child can go around. Like, there's a waterfall, where he and she can learn to meditate, or he and she can go in the cave and catch these cute small colored fireflies, and where each firefly is like a different emotion, has a different color, and this game teaches the kids about the different emotions and the value of having these different emotions.
And how do you think that you can interact with this? Are you going to be helping build it, or?
Right now they're trying to figure out a way for the children to interact with other people's stories or other kids' grieving stories in order for them to not feel that isolated. So right now, in the beginning, I'm helping them researching different ways of interacting with these stories and journeys and how that could be arranged. And that is interesting right now I don't know where it takes me, but it isn't like wasted research, because I can use it for, like, I need to research how to interact with other journeys anyway.
So lots of journeys already had and still to have. Well, thank you, Julie. We're about up with time
now.
Thank
you, Jessie.
Next up, we have Mian, and she's going to be talking about how can graphic design help us to understand mental health care. Thank you.